Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, PhD. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, PhD. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
We certainly do. And we love Al Barbarino and his music.
Speaking of our buddy Al, he's doing a
mission
on the Holy Spirit at the Holy Spirit Church in New Hyde Park this weekend. After every Mass, tonight and tomorrow. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7:15. And if you haven't heard him speak, he is dynamic.
He's funny.
He tells you as it is. He's going to talk about fate. He's going to talk about the church. I hate to say this. He's going to talk about the present political situation.
You know what I like about Al? I keep telling him, he's got to learn to express himself. He holds everything back.
He brings people all over the ends of the earth. There'll be a big crowd there.
Yeah, we hope they go.
Yes.
Today, listeners, we have a very interesting show. Last week, we were all involved in doing a Life in the Spirit seminar. And we brought our trusty tape recorders with us. And we recorded the presentations. So today, you're going to hear pieces of it. We're going to start with Pat Lannon, and she's going to talk about her testimony, how the prayer group affected her.
And her life.
And then we have a little song. I always like music in between. That goes for George and Nick because they don't like the music. And then after that, my partner here gives a long-winded talk. It's so much fun. Why belong to a prayer group? And we're just going to have you sit down now for a few minutes, but get comfortable and listen. I think you'll enjoy this. Okay, Trevor?
Hold hands if you're listening with your spouse.
I really don't have a plan what I'm going to say, but God is so good, and I know God loves me, even though I forget it many times during my despair. My life was a little bit different from Harry's being raised. Harry was well-to-do. I was born in poverty. And all my life, I was ashamed of that because I was on welfare. And I'm saying that word. I would never say that word because to me, that was like shame. If you were on welfare, you didn't hold your chin up. That was something to be ashamed of. So I think today is my day to just get set free of all that stuff that we hold when we're kids, all that stuff that holds us back. And all my life, I felt like I have to break out of it. But I never could because I had that binder on said, welfare child, poverty. And my father was raised in an orphanage where he was beaten, and his sisters and brothers died because of the total mistreatment of them, but he survived. And as a result of that, all he knew was how to beat. So my life was full of beatings. And that was another thing that I carry shame, because I was beaten. It's like I did something wrong. So all my life I thought, wow, I must be a horrible person because I'm born into poverty. We had to go to church to get money. Sometimes the church would give us checks to go to the store and get food. And then my father would beat me all the time. If my bed wasn't made properly, I would get beat. He told me when he was little, they would hold their knuckles out and they would get hit with the rulers until their knuckles bled. So I was lucky because he didn't hit me with the ruler. And I was afraid of him. I used to hide under the bed and curl up into a fetal position because I was so afraid of him. And then he died when I was 8 years old. Right after communion, he got hit by a truck. So I didn't know what was worse, losing my father or it was good because I wasn't going to get beat anymore. I don't know. It was like mixed. And then my mother had a little bit of mental problems that they really never diagnosed. They would put everything under the carpet and they believe everything was fine. But she was born with water on the brain, so she really didn't know how to raise me. She didn't know how to wash my hair or anything. I went to the neighbor downstairs to get my hair washed because my mother didn't know how to do it. And that was more shame. I was always full of shame. Never had company over my house. I didn't have company until maybe when I got married, my husband. But my whole life was just full of shame. And all my life I've been carrying that shame, and it's about time that I let go. Because God tells me, you are beautiful in my sight. Whatever you've been through does not matter, whatever kind of life we have. It has nothing to do with how God loves us or anything, but I always made that connection. Well, if there's a God, he doesn't love me because I don't have what other people have. I would go to my friends' houses, everything was nice, and I would go to my house, it was empty, shambles, a mess. And I just thought that he didn't love me. But the bottom line is God lets us go through situations so we can learn from it, so we can know that his love has nothing to do with what we wear or how much schooling we've had. It has nothing to do with that at all. All it is an open heart. I mean, look at the handicapped people. You may look at them, the blind people, and say, poor thing. They have much more than we have. That's the way we see things. So I'm not there yet. I have a long way to go, and I still have healings. You know, because then I always wanted a father in my life. And that got me into trouble because I wanted somebody to be like a father to me. And John Palmer is the closest that I've ever had in my whole life to a real, sincere, honest, genuine fatherly love that I've been looking for all my life. I mean, he can't be there for me the way I would want, and that's been a struggle because I have to learn that he has his own family and they need him. You know, I have to learn the line. See, Pat doesn't know the boundaries because of the beatings and all the abuse that I've been through. I don't know where the lines are, so I'm learning to draw the lines and say, well, John has his life, but yet he will be there for me when he can. So I thank God for him. God has put so many people in my life. God has put the prayer group. The prayer group has been one of the most blessings in my life, that we could meet every week and listen to different people going through struggles and cry with them, pray with them, and support them. I would say that's one of the best things I do is exercise and prayer. I'm so happy that people will call me when they have a need. That means so much to me that I can pray the rosary and offer up whatever I'm going through that day for that person. So those are the two things. I love to exercise and I love to pray for people because there is power in prayer. And I'm sure I am where I am today because there are people that have passed on that are praying for me. My mother, my father, I'm sure they're praying for me because they know how misdirected I've been, how I've been searching and searching. But God has been my answer, you know, but with me, sometimes he hasn't been enough because I felt like I needed a little bit more than that. But the bottom line is God is all we need because he puts people in your life and those people direct you to him. And sometimes I've made people gods. Sometimes I've looked for people for what I should look for in God. And that's something that he's teaching me, that I am the only one. I put people in your life to direct you to me. But I will heal you. I will comfort you. I will give you everything you need. Don't look to them because people are fickle. One day they're going to love you. The next day they're not. But I'm going to love you all the time. And he tells me this all the time. I used to belong to the Christ the King prayer community, but I couldn't do Monday and Tuesday night back to back, so I gave that up. But I still try to journal, and I find that journaling is so powerful because every time I write, I'm in a bad place, and God takes me right out of it, and he blows me away with so much positive things he tells me. Like this Lent, I gave up nothing. But he wrote in my journal, he says, you're giving up trying to be somebody you're not. That's a lot to give up. You're always trying to be what people want you to be, trying to please people. But you're giving that up. That's a lot, Pat. You're giving up a lot. So I'm so negative on myself, but every time I journal, he turns it around and gives me so much positive. So he's proud of me, and he tells me that all the time. He says, don't look for this one to be proud of you, for that one to be proud of you, for the priest, for John Palmer, for this one, for that one. I am proud of you. I am proud of where you've been and where you're going and where you are right now. He tells me that all the time. But sometimes that's not enough for me because I think I'm supposed to be a different place. I'm supposed to be at a different place in my life. But he's constantly telling me, you are where you are right now. Be happy where you are. Find joy in the time that where you are right now. Don't look for the past. Don't look for the future. But just look for now. The moment is now. You know, he has to tell me this over and over again because I forget. Because my mind keeps going and it doesn't relax. That's why I go to the gym too, because I find that the gym exercising just calms my mind. It just puts it at ease. But God is there. God is there for each one of us. And I don't know if any of you have been through what I've been through, that you carry shame. It's horrible. And God doesn't want us to carry that shame. God does not want us to carry it. And many times it's because of what other people did to us, and we carry that shame, like we're the one that did something wrong. We didn't do anything wrong. We just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that has nothing to do with God. God didn't help. God didn't make it happen. For some reason, he allowed it. so we could get through it and rise up above it. And that's what he calls us to do, to rise up above it. And the only way we can do that is with his divine love. His love. His love that heals, that just purifies us, that does everything for us. That's why when I hear homilies and they talk about God's love, I can't hear that enough. I want to hear that over and over and over again. That God loves me so much that no matter what I do, he's not going to love me anymore. He loves me so much right now. I don't have to do anything to make him love me more. And who in your life would be like that? You know, your own husband, you have to do this, you have to do that. Your kids, they want you to do this. But God just wants you to be who you are. And it's so simple, but yet so complicated because we make it complicated. So, and I know God loves me because Easter Sunday at the 9 o'clock Mass, they never sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. Never, never. For years, I've been here so many years, they haven't sang it once. At Greg would be singing it all the time. Well, this past Sunday, they sang it. And I thought it was Evelyn because I even called her afterwards and I said, did you tell them to sing that? And she said, no. So I know it's God. God was telling me because God talks to us through what we know. And I love music. Music really touches my soul. And he told me through Shine, Jesus, Shine, Pat, I'm with you. And let my love shine through you. Let all that garbage go, all that stuff that you refuse to let go of, all that shame. There's nothing to be ashamed of. So if any of you have been through even a little bit or maybe more than I've been through, God is telling you right now, give it to me, and be free of it, and enjoy life, because he put us in the life not to suffer all every day, and to be having our heads to the floor, moaning and groaning, and constantly in prayer. He wants us to sing, he wants us to raise our hands, he wants us to be hallelujah people, and to have the joy in our hearts. Heaven is a little bit on earth, it's not only when we die, it's now too, and we can have little bits of heaven. Life is full of mixture of joy and sorrow, one with the other. And as much as we hate the sorrow, we need to embrace it, because as we embrace the sorrow, he fills it with joy. So hopefully I said everything that God wants me to say, not what Pat wants me to say, but God loves us, and there's nothing like his love, there's nothing. That's all I can say.
Thank you. touch that dial.
It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Tell me, Chip.
Wow. Yum, yum, yum. Yum, yum, yum. Yum, 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 yum. How am I doing?
You want a lollipop?
I know, being the last speaker is a rough job here. And, you know, and the speakers that spoke before me, I could never, never reach that plateau. So I'm not even going to try. But Palmer did mention Psalm 23. I do want you to know what Psalm 23 says, because today is a day full of love. It's a day of devotion. And it's a day of Jesus. I don't know where this guy got Psalm 23 from, but it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. In green pastures you let me graze. To safe waters you lead me. You restore my strength, you guide me along the right path. For the sake of your name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even when I walk through a dark valley, I fear no harm, for you are by my side. You, your rod and staff, give me the courage. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and love will pursue me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come, because you are my Lord, my God, and my Savior."
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know where you get these things from, Palmer. I just don't know. During confession, I was told by Father Charlie, I don't know why, but he told me to tell everyone how much Jesus loves him. During adoration, I was told, or I got in my head, I need to go deeper than that. I want everyone to know how I love them individually by their names. And if they were the only ones on this earth, I would still love them that much. So maybe what we should do is just to reinforce that love. Can we all just say your names in unison? Like I'll say Anthony, and you'll say Barbara, and you'll say Joan, all at the same time. And then Jesus knows, you know, that Jesus is sending his love to you. Ready? One, two, three. Anthony! Thank you, Jesus.
You are nuts.
You said it. Well, you know, when my partner, my idol, asked me to speak today, how'd I do, Jesus? Did I mess it up? I'm sorry.
Don't fall down.
My partner asked me to talk. I was like, wow. He's my idol. I look up to him. I want to be just like him when I get big.
You're never going to get big.
Thanks, buddy. He's a tower of faith. He's an example that I exemplify, that I try to go after. His faith is unbinding. It's uncompromising. He's gone through a lot in the past few years. And his faith is as strong as ever. I got my head when I was told the faith of Job. The faith of Job. And so
Job had it easy.
He had it easy, yeah. So when Palmer asked me to talk, I said, wow. My idol wants me to talk at his seminar. I says, and then he says, oh, by the way, I want you to be the last speaker. I says, whoa, he wants me to be the last speaker. That must be the keynote speaker. And then he says, oh, I want you to talk about prayer groups. And I says, Huh? He said, I want you to talk about prayer groups. I said, okay. So I prayed over it. I said to Jesus, Jesus, what's with this guy? He wants me to talk about prayer groups. How much can I say? And I got, just do it. And so I'm going to do it. We had an unbelievable day today. Not in my wildest dreams did I ever, nor did my partner ever expect to see so many people here today. And you know what? You didn't just happen to come. And Pat didn't just happen to insist, today's the day, no matter what. In my eyes, Jesus is your calling. Jesus, I hope I'm doing right. In my eyes, you were selected to be here for a reason. You were chosen. You were chosen by Jesus for that special anointment, for that special talk, and for the prayer overs. Jesus has got something special in mind. I have no doubt about that. And so, I just want to thank you for responding to Jesus' call to be here. I want to thank you for being and listening so patiently to everyone. And I want to thank you for not leaving before I talked. Because when you're the last speaker, you know, sometimes you talk to two people, but you don't know it. But anyway, you were chosen, and you were selected. And we learned so many things today. And I'm to talk to you about joining prayer groups. And why should you join a prayer group? Well, the definition of a prayer group is a group of people getting together for a purpose, for a sole purpose or many purposes, and for sharing, and for praying, and for receiving the word of God, and opening up and allowing the word of God to come to you. But most important, most so important that makes me cry, the most beautiful thing is to allow Jesus to talk to you. If only you let him. If only you open your heart, open your arms, and just say, Jesus, just tell me what you want me to tell me. Just tell me what you want me to do. Just talk to me. Get rid of all that noise that's going through your head. Get rid of all that worries, all those things you're worried about. Because you know what? Turn them over to Jesus. He says in Matthew 13, turn all your burdens over to me, and I will carry them. No need for you to carry them. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Amen. Amen.
And I will carry them. And amen. And praise Jesus. And thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
By the way, I usually like to open my talks with a prayer. I know you forgot to pray earlier, but it's okay. But in any event, all right, come on, I can use a prayer. Let's go, come on.
All right, I'm sorry.
Give me a minute.
Spirit of the living God, pour fresh on him.
Don't sing, Tony.
Give us our trespasses, as we forgive
those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. Amen. And Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks. We thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for sending all these people here and telling them personally, individually, by their names, that you love them. We thank you so much, Jesus. We can never do anything without you. We need you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you stay by our sides. You hold our hands, you guide us. You let us know that you are truly our best friend. And I ask this in the name of your Father, our Creator. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, by the way, Jesus, please don't let me get brain freeze while I'm talking. Thank you. It happens sometimes when you get old.
You have to have a brain to freeze.
Oh, by the way, I prayed for Palmer during adoration. And I was told, Anthony, don't worry. You see that name he's got crooked? I prayed because he has a name crooked. I says, God, Jesus, why did you put the name crooked? He says, don't worry, he'll get straightened out once in a while. So anyway, I have to talk about prayer groups. But maybe, just maybe, I can alter that a little bit. You're a boss. Can I change it a little bit? Maybe we should add, we did the Holy Spirit seminar. We were baptized in the Spirit. We heard unbelievable testimonies. People that shared their hearts out to us. I mean, they were phenomenal. I don't know what to say about them. By the way, I did get permission to use it on the radio, so we are going to be playing these testimonies on the radio. But in any event, we had such a great day. So maybe we could call it the Holy Spirit Within Seminar. What's next? Maybe a prayer group. And what just is a prayer group? According to research, I have a research degree, that's why I'm always into that stuff. And that's why I research what Palmer had to say. But according to research, a prayer group is a group of people getting together for a common purpose, with love in their hearts, love, and wanting to get closer to God, closer to Jesus, and oh, by the way, closer to the Blessed Mother, because every time I pray to Jesus, I get in my head. And don't forget Mom. And he loves his mom so much. As much as you can possibly think. And she loves us. If we knew how much she loved us. When I think of how much Jesus loves us, I think of how much Mary loves us. I can almost cry, because why? Why, Jesus? Why? Why? What did I do? What did I do, Jesus, that you should love me so much? I'm a sinner. God knows the things that come through my head. God forbid if someone cuts me off on a road. God forbid if someone blows a horn at me. Why? Why do you love us? And the answer I got was, because you're my Father's creation, and my Father loves his creation. And because you're my brother, and they're my sisters, and I'm the big brother. And so why shouldn't the big brother love their brothers and sisters? And so he does. So maybe what's next after this beautiful seminar is to go out there and spread the word. Jesus is calling and calling and calling. I'm not sure what he wants to say. Jesus, I hope I'm saying the right thing. Stop me if I'm not, okay, Jesus? And he wants you to spread the word. And in the research that I got about prayer groups is that you not only spread the word, you share the word in these prayer groups. And didn't Jesus say, by the way, that when two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there with them. And so at these prayer groups, Jesus is there. Jesus is with us. And when we're singing and praising, like the Light of Christ prayer group does, and giving praise and glory, he's there.
Don't fall down.
He's there receiving. Thank you, partner. He's there. He loves me, this guy. No matter what he says about me on the radio, I know he loves me. And he's there. He's there. And he's taking it all in. So these prayer groups are a group of two, three, four, five, six people, maybe more, maybe 10. I've been in prayer groups now. Every week we get 12. And so I'm saying, Jesus, is this the 12 apostles, disciples? Is this what this is all about? And it's a sharing. And it's a building up of the graces within our heart. Jesus loves it when you're singing praise and glory. When you come and meet with a common denominator. The common denominator is what? Love, love, love. Jesus loves you, and you love Jesus. And man, you can't escape that. You see that Psalm 23 where it says, Jesus by your side, you can overcome anything. What a way to bring him into your life. But he wants more than that. He wants more. He expects that we join a prayer group. And there's certainly a lot of prayer groups walking around. And he expects that while we join that prayer group, we evangelize. He wants us to touch the people's lives in that prayer group with our evangelization. He wants us to be electrolytes of evangelization. And what better way can we evangelize than through prayer groups? And just think about it. When that prayer group spreads out all over, everybody's talking about it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What he's done for us, I could cry. What he's done for me, what he's done for you, what he's done for my wife, what he's done. We could never, never pay him back. And so that's what we do with these prayer groups. We get out there. We don't sit home, like Palmer says, like a potato. Is that what you say, Palmer? A couch potato. And just sit there and watch TV. We're out there doing God's work. Doing Jesus' work, spreading the word of salvation. Jesus is our brother. He's our big brother. He wants to be with us. He wants everyone to be in heaven. God, as they always say, is not one of those slum landlords that leaves you, makes a building and then leaves you. He created the universe. He didn't leave us alone in that universe and said, I made it, paid the rent, and go out on your own. No, he's watching his creation. He's watching his love. He's watching to make sure that we're happy, that we're satisfied. But he gave us one thing. He gave us free will. He gave us the will to say, nah, prayer group's not for me. What am I going to sit there with those holy rollers and go, hallelujah, hallelujah? You can do that if you want. Where's that going to get you? I don't know. But you could go to the right road and you could say, go to the prayer group. And when they sing, when they do the charismatic thing, and when they pray, and when they talk in tongues, you could, or you don't have to. But you're there. You're participating. You're spreading the love of Jesus our Savior. By the way, Jesus is dying to talk to us. Why? You think only because some people he talks to? He's not going to talk to all of us? Well, I got news for you. He wants to talk to you, Pat. You, all of you. He's dying to talk to you. Just let him do it. Open your heart. Open your heart wide. Just say, come into my heart. Tell me what you want me to know. He will. May I tell you, look, let's call reality reality. He's going to talk to us. But you may not hear voices. You may not see visions. You may not be able to respond and have a dialogue back and forth. He talks to us in so many ways. In so many ways. One of the ways that I like to talk about is the game Palmer made out. Did you ever know that Palmer invented a game? He calls it Bible roulette. And you take the Bible and you say, what do you have to say for me today? Got a message for me? You flip the pages and you look at whatever side you want to look at. And you read it. And what did I just pull out? The Passion of Jesus. The sentence of death. The mockery by the soldiers. So maybe he wants me to always remember his passion, his suffering, his death. If I'm a verified, then I'm not lying. Verify what you read. And he wants us to know. Do I get a verification? Do I get a, what do you
what's
say?
What's it worth to you? Yes.
And so he wants to remind me of what he's gone through for us. Another way that he talks to us is the prayer group that I belong to. What's the new name again?
On your
Christ
day.
The King? Where we journal. We journal. We journal on scripture. We journal on whatever they tell us to journal on. And we talk about it. And we share. And we get messages from Jesus. We think, but we have to discern some of the messages.
The prayer group on Monday.
And the prayer group on Monday. There, I've been to their prayer group. So, the Light of Christ is the name, isn't it? We have flashlights with that name on, the Light of Christ. And you, if you come here and you see them, their hearts full with joy and love. And Alfonso there playing music and just so beautiful. And you say to yourself, wow, Jesus must be in his glory now. They're jumping up their hands and they're singing their songs and they're praising Jesus and praising God. And it's so wonderful. There are other prayer groups, but I think that now, after today, after what you heard, after the adoration, you might just want to spread it out a little more. You might just want to go the little extra step. Go that little extra step and get off the couch. Come, join the prayer group. Come and see what it's all about. Come to see how Jesus loves you. And you know what? You might want to bring your better half, because I did a survey, and I got out of that survey, regardless of what Palmer says, I got that only 20% of the men come to other services other than mass once in a while. Only 20%. We've got to get that better. We've got to get that higher. You could do it. grab your better half and bring them to the prayer group. Bring them, bring them. Hold hands with them. Right, Tony? Gonna hold your hand?
Just don't hold mine.
I did. I bought him a Valentine's Day one day, or a gift one year. He gave it away. But, yeah, I did a survey. I did a new phone survey. And I got only 20% of men come to services. It's a little better during masses. It's up to about 30-35%. This bears out my survey. Bears out what I'm saying. It's less than 20% here of men now. But that's your evangelization. That's your job. Hey, listen to this. Wouldn't Jesus be so happy if you brought someone else with you? Wouldn't he? And maybe it might be a male, and he would be even happier. So we're meant to evangelize. Let's do it. Let's bring any and everybody to Jesus. Let him know that he is for us and we're for him, and that we appreciate and love everything that he's done for us. I have to tell you one more thing. I know I'm talking long, and this is not scripted, although I did write 11 pages after I prayed. But I'm not using one word of it. But, and then I asked Jesus to give me the words he wanted me to tell you, the messages he wants. And that's the message. His message is strictly talk to him. Talk to him. He loves you. He loves you. You don't have to worry about anything. Give him your burdens. Give him your problems. Give him your troubles. One thing I got to tell you about prayer groups. Another thing, I don't want to forget this. This is very important. They are so powerful. Oh my Lord, are they powerful. When they pray over you, when they pray for you, POW! It's burst out all.
Scared me.
I love you. They are powerful, so powerful. Joan and I, 2 years, both got hit with cancer. I got hit with lung cancer, and Joan got hit with ovarian cancer. And Joan's cancer was the worst type of cancer you could possibly get, is what the doctor said. I really wasn't going to mention this, but I will. It was my birthday, May 26th, at 7 o'clock at night, I got a phone call from the doctor. My kids were over. My birthday, the doctor says, she wants us to come over right away. So we had to say so long to my kids, they were leaving, we ran that man. And as soon as we entered that door, her first word out of his mouth was, I have bad news for you. You have cancer. That's the worst type of cancer that you could get. And you have to be operated. What is a week? Wow. Palmer prayed over her. The prayer group went wild. The light of Christ prayed like crazy. I prayed. When she got operated on, the doctor came out of the operating room. And she said to me, we can't comment on anything. Can't comment on anything until we get reports back. I said, oh my God. So we waited, we got a call from the doctor, and she says, come over. So we came over. And this time she didn't say, I have bad news. This time she says, I have very good news. It was not the cancer that we said it was. It wasn't the worst possible cancer you could get. It was very, very minimal. It didn't spread. You don't need chemo. All you need is 3 doses of radiation. She says, I don't know what happened. I don't know how, why. There was some of that other cancer there, but it got overpowered by the good cancer. And so, I went up to this. And I gave further support. But Joan, during that week before the operation, was very calm. And she's very faithful. She didn't know how to pray, but I didn't notice, but she prayed a song. I'm not going to play it today, but she prayed a song about healing me for the whole week. And so with all the prayers, with the prayer groups and Palmer and all the prayers, Jesus didn't let us down. Nor did he let me down when I had lung cancer. I didn't have to get chemo, and I didn't have to get radiation, and I didn't have to get nothing. I prayed for no pain because I'm a coward, and I prayed for a quick recovery, and I was back to work in 3 weeks. So praise Jesus, praise the prayer groups, praise God.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm not over yet.
Oh.
Give me one more minute.
Oh.
I want to end like Palmer does, because I want to be just like him when I get big.
Down the bottom. Hold it down the bottom.
What's in your heart?
Thank you for listening.
At the marriage feast of Cana. Marriage feast of Cana. They said, save the best wine for last.
And we did. And we did. Wasn't that special? Tony, I'm going to give you an Oscar. But my Oscar is a little tiny bug, and it fits in your hair, and you're going to scratch it forever. But what a wonderful testimony. And Pat, and Pat's also. Wonderful testimony.
That Oscar belongs to the Holy Spirit, and it belongs to Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I know. We all do. Mm-hmm. And really, listeners, you just get a taste of what prayer group may be like if you come out into your parish and you ask, is there a prayer group here? And there are. There are over 200 prayer groups throughout Long Island. 70 of them are charismatic. We have so many Marian groups on top of that. We have Padre Pio groups. We have Divine Mercy groups. We have teams of Our Lady groups. We have Renewed groups. I can go down.
And Bible studies.
Bible study groups, everything. Yet there's so many opportunities to learn how to belong to Jesus more deeply. We're going to, in a rush, kind of do our little prayer time so that we can ask Jesus, would you please get to our listeners' hearts? This is a one-hour commercial that we do every week. And the commercial is, Jesus, open their hearts. Jesus, bring them to a prayer group, bring them to study groups, bring them to their parish missions like Al's next week, or this weekend, and do whatever, come to say the rosary after Mass, come to adoration. So many ways that you can all learn to belong to Jesus. What Pat said, and what Tony said, rather lengthily, what Tony said is, just say yes. Open your heart. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with your love. Let me know that you're here with us. It's so important, Jesus. It's so important. And we pray now for all the people who have sent in all of their petitions. In particular, we pray for young David, whose cancer has come back. And Lord, you know best how to handle that kind of pain. And we ask you to bless him, Lord, and bless his mother. Laura, right? So, Lori, so that that family can deal with the pain that they have. And there are healing masses that take place all over Long Island. And we ask people to... Jesus, draw them to the healing mass. There's one next Friday night at St. Aidan's, and I'll be the speaker that night. And we ask Jesus, bring people to you so that they can be touched with your love, be touched and healed. It's just so, so very, very important. And in my heart I hear, you've heard a whole hour of people talking about how important it is to pray and how important it is to find your way to me. So now, I ask, will you let me in? Will you allow me to touch your spirit powerfully now at this very moment so that you make a commitment in your heart to do your altar call in your own parish, in your own way, that you find ways to come to me so that my love can touch you, so that my love can change you. I want you to be in love with me more deeply than ever before. Bishop Murphy is right on target when he wants all Catholics to belong to Jesus more deeply. And not only Catholics, all Christians. And all you have to do to join the club won't cost you a cent. All you have to do is say yes. That's the assent. Not money. Say yes. And let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, enter. And if you're shy about coming to us, do what Tony said. Don't forget Mom. Come to Mary. Her mother will lead you to the Holy Spirit who will lead you to Jesus, who will lead you to the Father. It's a love game you're in. And you can be winners every moment of every day. Just come to us. Open up. Come to a prayer group. Come to a Life in the Spirit seminar. Come to whatever. Just come. And now, in honor of Pat, who gave the first talk, we're going to play her favorite song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Pat, this is for you, and thank you for running that Life in the Spirit seminar.
And thank you for being so steadfast.
See you all next week.